We have been preaching for the month of March, and here we are already the second Sunday of March. And we've been preaching about your life making an impact. Last week we talked about the impact of a burning heart. Today I want to talk to you about having extraordinary impact. Impact is when you and I become what God created us for. When the divine life of Jesus Christ is planted within us at the moment of salvation, is when that happens. When that divine life is planted within us, extraordinary impact becomes possible. Because how many of you know, Jesus is by far the most extraordinary man that ever lived, that ever walked the face of the earth. So think of it. Jesus Christ within us, the incredible, extraordinary life of Christ within us, elevates us from the norm into the extraordinary. Now that truth caused Paul to say, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So I want to kick off with that verse, and you may be familiar with it. If not, you can learn it today. And I want to go to the Old Testament, first of all, book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Isaiah 64, verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear. I want you to notice that word perceive, because that's the reason why I'm starting here in Isaiah 64. Men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Then we go to the New Testament where Paul says to the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, now whenever you see something in the New Testament that says that, but as it is written, then you can cross-reference that to where it's written, which is what we just did in the book of Isaiah. And you can see the foundation of that verse or of that New Testament truth. Because every New Testament truth can be referenced to some Old Testament concept. And then it moves us to Revelation in the New Testament. And that's what we're going to talk about in just a minute, because it's very, very important that we see this. All right, so this is what Paul says to the church. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, even the deep things of God. Now that's a very important passage of Scripture, because this is spoken on the other side of the cross. See, the Old Testament was way before the cross when Jesus died for every one of us. But here, it's on the other side of the cross. And how many of you know on the other side of the cross, there's revelation, there's insight, there's wisdom. Amen? So I want to give you five things today of how your life can have extraordinary impact. Now, think first of all, that there's no one in the world like you. Of a present global population of over 7 billion people. No one has your voice. No one has your fingerprint. No one has your DNA. Nor from the beginning of time, of all the billions of people that have lived prior, or even those yet to be born, there will never be another you. You are one of a kind. Amen? You are. You are one of a kind. So that means that you are extraordinary by God's divine. So I want to talk to you about how your life can have an extraordinary impact. All right, so what we read here in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, he talks about revelation because he says that God has revealed them to us. Now, we read from Isaiah 64, but Isaiah 64 did not give us any idea of 1 Corinthians 2:10, right? Because it was on the other side of the cross. So there was no revelation there. Are y'all with me? Amen. There was no revelation. So the first thing I want you to understand is that we must move from perceptual knowledge to revelation. We have to do that. We have to move from perceptual knowledge to revelation. So what is perception or perceptual knowledge? It is our natural senses. So perceptual knowledge is life without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Perceptual knowledge forms an intellectual belief about God by their natural senses. All right, so perceptual knowledge does not have the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? All right, so in the Old Testament, that's why you don't find 1 Corinthians 2:10 following Isaiah 64:4, because they didn't have that on the other side of the cross. They only had perceptual knowledge. But Jesus, my friends, has brought us revelation of who God is. And Paul refers to the natural man who lives by his natural inclinations. So without the Holy Spirit, people will try to define God based upon perceptual knowledge of who they think he should be, of what they think he should look like, of how they think he should act and conduct himself, because they have no revelation. Are y'all still with me? The world in which you and I live lives by perceptual knowledge because it's the natural man. We could read on a little further in 1 Corinthians 2. And he says in verse 11, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we speak, not in which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. And he compares spiritual things with spiritual. Why? Because of revelation. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I know there's a lot of hysteria, you know, about the coronavirus right now. And, they're even contemplating changing the time change. We're going to change the time change. That's kind of like a double negative or a double positive. I don't know. But, we lost an hour of sleep, right? All right, so present studies say that, you know, that it affects people's health, increases the risk for heart attacks. All right, so daylight savings time is going to kill us, and the coronavirus is going to kill us all. All right, so there's all this hysteria. All right, so then the vice president of the United States, who was a fine man of God, Mike Pence, there was a photo on the news, a shot of him on the news, and they're praying about the coronavirus. All right, so then these fools on CNN, are y'all still with me? They make fun of that. And I call them fools for this reason, because God says in his word, those that don't believe in God or in the power of God, they're fools. All right, so don't get mad at me. I'm quoting scripture. That's all I'm doing. All right, so doesn't the scripture say we should pray about everything? But you see, the natural man don't understand the things of the spirit. All right, so those guys, you know, they're going to make fun of spiritual things, going to mock somebody that prays, you know, and the scripture encourages us that we should pray about everything. Everything should, we should make it a matter of prayer. But the natural man and the world in which we live, that's why sometimes you just got to shut all that stuff off. And you want some news, go to the Bible. Amen. The Bible is good news. Shut yourself in with the word of God. Shut out all those voices and do what the scripture says. And the scripture says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It goes on further to say, and no plague will come nigh my dwelling. But the natural man don't understand that. Are y'all with me? All right, so that's why we have to move. If you want to have an extraordinary impact, you cannot live by perceptual knowledge. The natural man cannot receive, verse 14, he cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Notice what he says next. They are foolishness to him. So praying is foolish to those who are in perceptual knowledge. At one time, I used to be like that. At one time, you used to be like that too. But if you're a born-again child of God, you have now come into revelation. You have now had your spiritual senses awakened. See, the supernatural work of God changes the natural man into a spiritual man. Through Jesus Christ, we exchange the natural senses for spiritual senses. And revelation comes by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, we all know we still have our natural senses. And that's why the Bible says that we must crucify the flesh. Amen? You can't yield to sin. If you yield to sin, sin will control you. Sin will rule your life. Sin will dominate you. If you yield to God, you will live in your spiritual sense. You will have revelation. Look at what this verse says. This is a very important passage of scripture. And it's Romans 8, 6. And it's in the Amplified version. Look at this. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reasoning without the Holy Spirit. All right, so that right there is perceptual. Do y'all see it? That is perceptual because that is natural senses. So that is perceptual knowledge because perceptual knowledge is life without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's why Christ's rejecters mock people of God. That's why they mock people that pray. All of us are surrounded by people who mock our faith. They'll call you a Jesus freak. They'll call you a religious fanatic. I mean, they'll call you all kind of, they'll make all kind of references to you. Because, my friends, they are not, they don't have the revelation that you have. Are y'all with me? They are still in perceptual knowledge. So their spiritual senses have not been awakened. All right, so Romans 8, 6 says, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reasoning without the Holy Spirit, he says that is death. Death that comprises all of the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace both now and forever. Hallelujah. So there's the revelation. You can see the difference in this verse right here, because this verse illustrates perceptual knowledge and it shows us revelation knowledge. And if we're going to live an extraordinary life, we live it by revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. Not by perceptual knowledge. All right, so that's the first thing. See, that's why everything we do in a local church is to grow the people of God. All the preaching, all the teaching, all the ministry, it is to deepen people into the Christ life. Because the more we deepen into the Christ life, then guess what? We begin to live extraordinary. And we begin to have extraordinary impact. I used to always think of this verse of scripture, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor has entered the mind of man the things God has prepared for those who love him. I used to always think of that in a heavenly sense. You know, that man, that heaven is going to be something else. You know, eye is not seen, ear is not heard. But then I began to understand in the context that he's not just talking about heaven. He's talking about what God has prepared now. Amen. The life that he has prepared for us to live now. There's a reason why in the book of Romans, he talks about that we will reign in this life. Rulership in this life. My friend, that is extraordinary impact. So it's not just, singing a song, you know, when we're all in the sweet by and by, and it's all going to, you know, it's going to be wonderful and great, and we all know that it is, but there is an extraordinary impact that must happen now, amen, because it can't happen when you're in heaven. When you're in heaven, then, man, that's rejoicing. That's then entering into the fruit of labors, right, and of what Jesus did for us at the cross. Let me move on. Number two, how to have extraordinary impact? I must be committed to God's extraordinary plan. Ephesians 3, 9 to 10, in the Message Bible, Paul says this. He says, my task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created us, or who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Now, let me just pause for a second there. What that is teaching us is that even when things may not seem to be happening, things are happening. Because God is working behind the scenes. We may not always see it because it's in the realm of the spiritual, but then it will reach the realm of the natural. Are y'all still with me? That's exactly what this is saying. So Paul is saying all the preaching, all the teaching is to make plain the extraordinary plan and purpose of God. To make it plain. To make it clear. All right, so then he goes on and he says, through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Let's give them something to talk about. I don't know who wrote that song, and I don't know what the reference is. It may not be a good reference, but you probably never thought of giving the angels something to talk about concerning your life. But that's exactly what this verse says. People like ourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God becoming known and talked about even among the angels. All right, so if I am going to have extraordinary impact, I must be committed to God's extraordinary plan. That's what he's teaching us right here. Extraordinary impact is based upon extraordinary plan. So God truly is the writer. We are simply the players in his drama. Think about it. Amen. We are the ones that he has engaged through salvation by his incredible son to make you and I extraordinary and to make our life an extraordinary life. Remember, no one can be like you ever. No one can duplicate your voice. No one can duplicate your DNA, your fingerprint. No one. You are one of a kind. When you think about that concept and all the billions of people, that is a marvelous thing. Maybe that's why David said, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. He had a little revelation about that. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. There is no other. You are one of a kind. The definition of the word extraordinary means beyond the usual, exceptional, remarkable, amazing. Extraordinary. Beyond the usual. When you think of Jesus Christ, there's no one ever like him. Has never been anyone like him. Will never be anyone like him in the future. He is the most impactful person who ever lived. And think of what the scripture teaches. That when he was raised from the dead, Jesus Christ became a life-giving spirit. So I have a life-giving spirit living inside of me. And if you're a born-again child of God, so do you. My friend, that is a recipe for extraordinary. All right, so let me give you number three. Got five things here. Here's number three. Make it your aim to please. Now, all of us live to please people in our lives, do we not? You don't wake up in the morning and say, my task today, my assignment today is to displease as many people as I possibly can. That's really not what we wake up to do. We wake up with the idea that we want to please people. Husbands want to please their wives. Yes, darling. Yes, dear. Take out the trash. Yes, darling. Remodel the house. Yes, darling. Paint the room. Yes, darling. Right now, mine is, I want a new floor. No, darling. There's going to be hell to pay. Yes, darling. You go to the job. You don't go to the job to displease your supervisor or your boss or your company you work for, or if you're in business for yourself, your customer. You're on a mission to please them, right? All right. What if we shift that in our relationship with God? And we find this verse of scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:9, where and this is said in the context of that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that is a judgment not over sin. That is a judgment of how we invested our lives here on this earth. And that there's going to be positions in heaven. There's going to be rewards in heaven. So it's based upon that concept. So in light of that, he said that we should make it our aim. Make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. That should be our aim. This is how the Message Bible reads. Neither exile nor homegoing is the main thing. Cheerfully pleasing God is the main thing. And that's what we aim to do regardless of conditions. Hallelujah. So that is our aim. Our main thing is to cheerfully please God in everything we do. In everything we do. That's why I say, you know, everything should be prayed about. And you know, listen, I worked around people. They used to make fun of my faith, used to mock me, and I didn't let any of that stuff bother me because I know what the Word of God says. And Jesus said it this way. He said, those that know God will hear you. Those that don't know God will not hear you. Amen. So again, he brought us from the perceptual, right, to the revelation. All right, so people that don't know God, they don't get it. They don't understand. Now, we have to live it before them, and we should keep setting the example and trying to win them to Jesus. But ultimately, it is the operation of the Holy Spirit that is going to bring them into the revelation. We are simply the vessels. That's why we are commissioned. The gospel, Jesus commissioned his followers to go and preach it. That's our responsibility. We go and preach it. Now, there's a quote by a church leader a few generations ago that we are to preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. That is the most dumbest quote that I've ever heard in my life. And people quote it all the time, like it's some profound truth. I mean, how can you preach the gospel without using words? Right? Now, someone has said that it's been brought into doubt that he never even, and I'm trying to think of the person that said it, slips my mind for the moment, but it'll come to me later, probably when I'm at lunch. But it's been brought into doubt that he never even said that. You know, I understand the idea that we should be living it before people, but you can't effectively preach the gospel without using words. Amen? And we have to go and declare the message because people need to come from the perceptual into the revelation. All right, so I want to please God. I want to be a God pleaser rather than a man pleaser. Something that I constantly pray in my life as a minister of the gospel is that, God, I want to finish strong for you. I want to finish strong for you, and I want to be faithful to the call and to carry it out, to completely fulfill it until the end of my days on this earth. I want to please God. There is power in pleasing God. Supernatural things happen when we please God. Look at what this says in 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So the Word of God is telling us right here that supernatural things will happen in our lives when we do what? When we cheerfully please God and make that the main thing. Supernatural things happen. That's why I believe we should pray about everything. You're going to buy a car? Pray about it. Make sure you don't get the wrong car. I remember one day years ago, in our marriage, Becky and I went into a dealership and we bought a black cherry Dodge Dynasty, and they had it in the showroom. It was on the showroom floor, and man, I'm telling you, that car was beautiful. I guess that was back in the, I don't know, maybe all the way back to the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there. And Becky got in that car, and I said, "That's you, baby. That's you. Let's get it." But we never prayed about that car. And she drove it out of the showroom. That thing was a lemon from the day we drove it out of there. I mean, it was in the shop for struts. It was in the shop for transmission. I mean, I couldn't even put gas in it because the release for the gas cap wouldn't open up. I mean, it was a mess. God, get us out of this car. So we total it in an accident. Wasn't my idea of how to get out of the car. But we were in Baton Rouge, and we were going to a Christian concert, and made the wrong turn. It was raining, went down to make a U-turn because I'd missed the exit. And, man, this car just came flying, took the whole front of the car. I don't know how many times it spun around. I guess maybe 3 to 5 seconds more in the turning process, we'd have been broadsided. We may have all been dead. But wasn't our time. But that was a scary, scary experience. Insurance people came out and they said, "That's a total loss." Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But we should pray about everything. You know, make sure you're making a wise purchase. You know, pray about it. You know, can I afford this? If you're buying a house, can I afford this note? You know, we should pray about everything. And if you're still in your youth and you have to choose a mate, that demands 40 days of fasting and prayer before you proceed with a decision. Amen? Yes. Pray about everything. Everything. And that's what we are encouraged to do. Be a God pleaser. Here's the fourth thing. Almost done. Don't hinder the author. Look at what this says in Psalms 139, verse 16. He says, like an open book, this is the Message Bible, like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I had even lived one day. Now, that is telling us right there that God is writing the story for you and I. He's writing it. I believe David had a little revelation about that when he wrote in the Psalms, the steps of the righteous, they are ordered by God. They're ordered by God. They are directed by God. God is writing the story. So we can't hinder him by adding to the script. If we become the author, we change the storyline. All right, so that brings us back to, you know, the main thing, cheerfully pleasing God. That should be our main aim, our main purpose, regardless of the conditions. Consult him about everything. Amen? About everything. Pray to him, seek his face about everything. He's writing the story. I don't want to hinder the author. I don't want to make a bad choice, a bad decision, and put in a chapter that God didn't want in the book. Are y'all with me? Amen? So don't hinder the author. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means he started it, and he's going to bring the story to completion. Hallelujah. So I want to live. I don't want to hinder the author. I want to live in his timing. So like an open book, he watched us grow from conception to birth. All the stages. So that means every season, every chapter were spread out even before we lived one single day. Man, that is an incredible thought. So I don't want to hinder the author. Amen? He's writing the story. I believe if we would go and study the life of Jesus, that's exactly what he was committed to. He was committed to carrying out the greatest story ever told. Hello, somebody. Amen? The greatest story ever told. And that, my friend, is the story of the gospel. Here's the fifth and final thing. Extraordinary impact. Man, I don't want to settle. I don't want to settle for status quo. I don't want to settle for normal. I want extraordinary. I want to have extraordinary impact. So here's the fifth and final thing that we'll close with. We must grasp the will of God. Ephesians 5:17 says this. Ephesians 5:17, Amplified Bible. Do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. All right, now, this is an interesting verse. He says, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish. Guess what that is? Perceptual knowledge. So he says, don't live in perceptual knowledge. So how do I not live in perceptual knowledge? Well, he tells us in the next line. He says, but understanding, see, that's revelation right there. Understanding. I've got insight. I see clearly. He says, understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. I must grasp it. How do I grasp it? How do I lay hold of it? By revelation. So that's why we need the Word. See, you got to have the Word of God. You got to have the Word. God is watching over His Word to perform it. You got to have the Word operating in you. You got to be committed to truth. Truth has to renew your mind, your soul, your spirit. Let me coincide that with this last one in Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, further illustrating how we must grasp the will of God. The will of God is by far the most important thing in all of our lives, because, boy, if you get out of the will of God, I mean, that's not a good spot. And people get out of the will of God. All right, look at what he says in verse 9. For this reason, he's talking to the body of believers, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease. He's talking about their faith. We heard about your incredible faith. He says, since the day we heard about your incredible faith, your growth, your progress, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Notice how it happens. In wisdom and spiritual understanding. All right, so he says it doesn't happen by perceptual knowledge. It happens by revelation knowledge. Do y'all see that? Because he plainly states it. Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. And then here's the impact. Here's the extraordinary impact. All right, so we're moving on the extraordinary line. And then here comes the extraordinary impact. Look at what he says next. Being fruitful in every good work. So there is the extraordinary impact. As you grow and deepen in the things of Christ, and you grab hold of that extraordinary plan, and you make it your aim that you're living your life under God and to please God, and you're not going to hinder the author, and you're going to grasp the will of God, then because of your growth and your development and your revelation and the wisdom that is being imparted to you and the Christ life that is just being enthroned in you and it is coming out of you, my friend, you are going to automatically, whether you want to or not, you are going to automatically have extraordinary impact. Because the people that come in contact with you are going to come in contact with this incredible, impactful plan. Hallelujah, of Jesus Christ.